The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. This is Guardian AM. I'm Hubert Edwards. Sitting in, we're going to have ourselves a conversation this morning around some of the multiple issues that we've been seeing over the weekend that has been reported in the newspaper. And for the most part, they're either social or we could broadly look at them as social or relationship issues. And the big question I want us to start with is, really, how do you respond in a moment of crisis? How do you respond when you're under pressure? How do you respond when you believe that you are disrespected? When you believe that individuals are being unfair to you, when you may feel embarrassed, what is it that you do? And having gone through that whole process, whether it's a very short time or a longer period, what is it that you are feeling? Are you consistently resentful? Are you consistently angry at individuals? Do you hold on to these things or do you let them go? Are you in the business of being willing to hurt somebody? Being quick to cause physical harm or to cause mental pain or anguish? Where are you? And what does the state, which may manifest itself in the physical, whether it's verbal or a different type of an action, whether it's body language or attitude, whether it's taking an action which is not connected with the individual but directly or indirectly affects the individual, what does that say about you as an individual? What does it say about you as an individual? What does it say about I as an individual? What are the signals that we're getting back? So when you say something to me, which is in the normal course of things, it may be embarrassing, it may be something which normal persons will get angry at, and by normal, I mean all of us, yeah? But the extent to which I may respond to you, you may respond to me, what does it say about you or I in that moment and our development? Are we emotionally balanced? Are we comfortable with self? Are we confident with who we are? Do we see ourselves as having a need to persecute others, to overcome them, to punish them, to slap them down? Is that what defined us in the moment? And if it does, what does it say about you on the inside? So I want to ask you, what is on the inside of you? What exactly is there? Now, oftentimes we see activities, we see occurrences, we see incidents, and we sometimes marvel at those who actually carry these things out or carried those things out. We say, oh, he's not like that. He's a different type of a person. I'm totally surprised. Yeah, surprise is fine. But being convinced that that individual isn't the individual you just saw depicted exactly who that individual is, it's kind of ridiculous. Because the person shows you very clearly who they are by their actions. And the extent to which we tend to hold on to resentment may be a factor in the way we behave, the way we treat others, and the way we respond to external stimuli when those stimuli are uncomfortable, embarrassing, just generally not good. So where am I going with all of this? I know that you're tired of hearing this, but the incident recently between Will Smith and Chris Rock, I think, holds a lot of value, significant amount of value for our daily interaction with each other. What is true and what becomes very, very clear very quickly is the extent to which the focus was on the aggressor and not the person who was wronged. The extent to which restraint or lack of response, whether the individual, Chris Rock, wasn't confident that he could respond, but he didn't. The extent to which composure was evident. The extent to which there was awareness of where I am in the moment. I was on television being broadcasted around the world or being broadcasted far or just being broadcasted. And I need to maintain a smile. I need to speak to the issue. I need to recognize that, you know, I cannot respond in a way which is going to create empty space. I have to keep going. That level of awareness, even in a moment of great pressure, even in a moment of all things being equal, fear and anger, tells you, gives you an insight into the level of awareness and maybe some persons may even say mastery of that individual. Now, we can argue the extent, but it was clearly that there was some level of control in place. So what exactly is inside of you? I always believe, as one very famous inspirational writer and speaker always says, Dr. Wayne Dyer, when he asks a question, what do you get when you squeeze an orange? And sometimes persons will say, you know, many different things. The natural output is, you know, some persons actually say when you squeeze it, you get the seeds or whatever it is. But predominantly what comes out of an orange when squeezed is orange juice. It's pretty straightforward. And then he always asks another question which is so simple that it perplexes individual and you're tempted to ask, you know, are you an idiot that you're asking me this question? And he would ask, why? Why does orange juice come out of an orange when it's squeezed? And persons will proffer all type of answers, not necessarily wrong or right, but the answer that he looks for or the answer that he has decided on is simply because orange juice is inside the orange. And so whatsoever comes out under pressure, whatsoever comes out in a moment of anger, whatsoever comes out when there is a confrontation and conflict and something to be solved, whatsoever comes out when some individual decide, well, I'm going to pull a gun and shoot somebody, whatsoever comes out in those moments when a student decides to pull a weapon and stab another student, that is what is inside of them. And why do I think that is important? Why do I think that is important? Because too often we seem to see these issues and wish to solve them externally. We wish to solve the issues by throwing external solution. And by external solution, I mean solutions which are outside of the individuals, or solutions which are not designed to create intervention, to create a change in behavior, to create a individual disabusing themselves of their current state of mind, the current way of thinking, the philosophy which they embrace. So maybe, and I'm speculating here, never been in a gang, but maybe in the gang culture, we've read enough about it, we've watched enough movies. If you slap me, I must do it back to you, because respect and street cred is on the line. Now, how can you stop an individual like that from committing a certain act in the face of himself being a victim of certain things? Well, you have to disabuse him of the thinking or of the need, the importance, the necessity of his response. He has to be in a position where he can continue being a man in his own eyes, being a valued human being, being someone of worth. He needs to be confident in his own self-worth that I don't have to respond. But if not responding in his world, and by his world, I mean where he is physically or where he is, where he the people he interacts with. But most importantly, the world inside of him, his own mind, his own thinking. If he's convinced that that is what defines him as a human being, gives him importance, gives him credibility, then he must protect the integrity of that process. And he therefore has to respond. And he respond in a way which is going to be consistent with his thinking. He becomes resentful. And then he acts out that resent by lashing out at someone else. And that's pretty much what I think happened with the incident between Chris Rock and Will Smith. Even though it looked a little bit complicated, I see at one point in time, the man was laughing, then he looks across at his wife, and all hell break loose thereafter. But I understand that there's a little bit of a history between the parties involved. But even if it was for that millisecond, the short time he took to realize that his wife wasn't impressed, and then walk to the individual and deliver his statement in a very profound way, he was resentful. And that resent poisoned him. And that poison then was acted on and acted out. And as a result of that, he kind of killed himself a little bit. We have a caller on the line. Caller, go ahead.
Good morning.
Good morning.
What I'm saying, that only person who wins to me is Demi Moore. And G.I. Jane won. Because she was a Navy SEAL. She had a trained heart. I don't see what Will freaked out about. He laughed, and when he looked at her, she was laughing. So he wanted to show off, and he forget where he was. Have you ever seen a roast?
Did he forget where he was?
Steve Martin and Frank Sinatra and Lucille Ball, like the real superstars, would crack hard jokes on one another, and they would laugh.
Uh-huh.
Ronald Reagan at a correspondent dinner, they would roast the president.
Mm-hmm.
Now Trump couldn't go because Trump is thin-skinned, so he couldn't go. He never been he'd be the one, and they crack on him, and his face turned red. But it was a joke. It was a cover joke. I mean, Jen is very fit, so she can play G.I. Jane. That's a real movie that Demi Moore played in and had a buzz cut.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but something triggered him. Something triggered him, and my point. Well, at least the point I'm trying to make. Yes, there was an external stimulus. He looked across. His wife wasn't too impressed. The man said, Chris Rock said what he said. So those are the external stimuli. But he responded, and he responded. He responded in a way which is Will Smith. He didn't respond like anybody else. He responded based on how he felt he was informed in the moment, how he may feel that he was disrespected, his wife was disrespected, and the view that he took of others maybe listening in on him and the need for an action. So he needed to do something to create an equilibrium based on his view of the current realities. That's simple. This individual is saying, good morning, Mr. Edwards, Chris Rock, and Will and Jada Smith. Our best friend, the slap shock Chris Rock more than everyone else. Well, their best friend, that's a good thing. I guess they will patch it up. Mr. Edwards, I'm proud of Chris because if I was in a similar situation with a business partner, whose action caused me to just walk away and leave them with everything, I could have responded differently. Positive, very positive. And this, I think this is one of the important things, you know, where many individuals in opining on the incident would use it as a teachable moment, and they would say, here is the Fresh Prince. Here is Will Smith. Don't be like this. And there's a lot of persons. Other persons did do the opposite. But there's so many more individuals who say, don't be like Will Smith, as opposed to be like Chris Rock. And I find that to be very interesting and intriguing. You know, obviously, you know, I think all things being equal, more people like Will Smith. Yeah, definitely, because of his popularity. But there is a message in there someplace. That oftentimes we focus on the aggressive response. We focus on the violent response. We focus on the thing which is bad. And we miss all of the great lessons from the thing that was done well. I think that is important to focus on. We have another caller. Caller, go ahead. Caller, go ahead. You're on Garden Radio.
Good morning, Mr. Edwards. How you doing?
Hi, good morning, Sparky.
Now, you know, when we read about movie stars and so forth, often we hear a lot of things happen with their reactions, eh?
Mm-hmm.
We hear some movie stars, they got multi-million dollar accounts and fancy yachts and condominiums all around the world and everything, and we end up hearing them commit suicide.
Yes.
Now, what happened, would you think, a couple of years or maybe a year from now, the same lady who has so much effect on Will Smith decided she had enough of him and wanted to divorce him?
Yeah.
He could blow his head out.
Hopefully not.
If she got that much control over him, that puts him on a world stage to leave his seat, walk up in the front of millions of people around the world watching him, and slap or punch a friend of his that he acted in movies with many years over and repeatedly, and do something like that in the front of the world,
mm-hmm.
How do you think you feel when you hear the woman divorcing him?
Yes. Let me ask you a question, though, Sparky.
But not only that, Mr. Edwards.
Yeah.
Over there in the United States, when the people divorce you, they carry your house, your car, your children, and a lot of your bank account money, too.
Yeah, I think they're sophisticated people. There's no going to be no carrying. They have already...
you know, like okay, but this is the last point before I go.
Uh-huh.
Like many times when I talk with you, we talk about the Bahamas, we talk about Jamaica, where you from, and you don't change your dialect and things like that. You don't get mad at me, right?
No, I have no time to get
you
mad.
You don't have time for that. But look here, another talk show host get mad because I tell him he's on.
I know you was going to go there. I know you guys stop using this as a means of arguing that, Sparky. You know, to each his own. But at the end of the day, you made a point which I think I want to touch on. And you said that the woman, his wife, influenced him to do that. Well, she was upset, clearly, or in the moment she felt a way, but she didn't tell him to get up and go. There had to be something in him which caused him to do that. I do know that she didn't run after him either. You know, she just let him walk merrily to do whatever he was doing. But that is a subsidiary point. My larger point is that whatsoever happened in that moment, while there were external stimuli from the joke, from the environment, from the thinking of what other persons may be thinking, all of those being external, it was the internal decision which led ultimately to the action. And that is what we have to understand. So especially when we start to talk about, you know, fixing violence in school, fixing gang violence, fixing some of the social ills that we have in our world, we must be mindful that unless there is an intervention which impacts the individuals internally, there's not going to be much change. It's like kind of moving around the pieces on the chessboard or on the board without getting the type of a desired change which you set yourself in a strong position to win. And so while there are some things which need to be done, and some of the external application does change the environment and may influence a change in behavior, at least temporarily, the most sustainable fix that you can find is to fix what is the fundamental problem which is driving it. Some of this is external, but very, very importantly, you have to get at the heart of what causing that individual to respond the way they respond. Edwards, to me, it all boils down two things, ego and opportunity. If you feel you can get away with something that satisfies your ego, you will do it. And if you are given the opportunity, then you will do it. And here arises an important topic for our country and the Black community, conflict resolution. I think you're so right. And that's kind of where I'm going with this. You know, how do you deal with conflict resolution other than, well, let me not say other than, how do you effectively deal with conflict resolution if there isn't intervention which is going to cause the entities, the persons who are in conflict, to be armed with the ability to resolve those problems? That is fundamentally important. It is so, so, so important that we understand that it is not simply the external environment. While those need to be addressed and adjusted as necessary, but if we're not fixing the people, if we're not changing their minds, if we're not changing their hearts, if we're not doing what a Christian would say, repent, causing them to repent, to embrace a whole different philosophy, then the change isn't going to be there. Or if there's even a change, it's going to be temporary. And that temporary change will eventually revert to the challenge. You listen to Guardian Radio. This is Guardian AM. We're going to take a break here. And when we come back, we continue the conversation. What exactly is in you? What exactly is driving you? Are you embracing resentment? And I want to share something with you that I wrote on this matter of resentment. So on the other side, we will pick it up. We want to hear your voice. We want to hear your views. So call us 422-4796. 422-4796. That's our text line. 323-6232, 325-4316, or 325-4259. Don't move. Come right back.
One thing there is no debate about is that BTC has the best rates. Now, the best rates just got better because you pay half the price of the other guys with your BTC home internet and mobile services combined. Switching to BTC is a no-brainer because I pay less with BTC and get super fast internet with speeds up to 600 megs. The other guys, their internet only go up to 105 megs.
Get all the internet you want at half the price when you bundle your home internet and mobile. Visit a BTC store to make the switch today. Conditions apply.
Five-time defending Charybdis swimming champions Team Bahamas is headed to Barbados April 16th through 20th for the Charybdis swimming championships. Show your support for Team Bahamas by placing an ad in the Nassau Guardian special Charybdis swimming championship section, which will be published on April 4th. This is your chance to congratulate Team Bahamas, the coaches, or an individual swimmer in their quest for a sixth title. For more information, call your Nassau Guardian account executive now at 302-2300. 302-2300. And get your message in our special Charybdis Swimming Championship section. Get ready for the 2022 Charybdis Swimming Championships and Team Bahamas going for gold again.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
And welcome back to Guardian AM. We are having this conversation. We're talking about some of the incidents that we've been seeing, some of the social incident, relationship incident, the Will Smith, the stabbing in the school, the gang wars, which have kind of been boiling over in Nassau for quite a while now. And, you know, we're asking this question, how do we fix this, if not to go inside, to jump inside and fix the individual? We have a number of texts. Let's take this. Good morning, Mr. Edwards, Chris Rock. You said it already. Well, we'll tell Sparky stop blaming the woman, okay? Sparky, stop blaming the woman. Great show as usual. I get upset at work. If I get upset at work, I go to the bathroom before I end up in jail. We get a problem because we fail for too long take to set boundaries. We all have done something stupid over a woman before. Ego is a serious thing. I don't know about we all have. I don't think I have, but maybe. Hi, Mr. Edwards. Love your show. Now, I am not a violent person. That was no place for Chris to make a remark about Will's wife. He embarrassed him, so that was his response. Will should have given him another. No, you shouldn't do that. Yeah, I think you're just perpetuating. I mean, you started out good, but you're just perpetuating the violence. You know, can't do that. Can't do that at all. Carla will come to you shortly. This one's a Hubert. Negroes just started to be A-listers at I-class function like the Oscars because, okay, where are you going with this? Because some of us black people is impulsive, aggressive, and have bad behavior. Sidney Poitier worked too hard to get there to see Will Smith flippantly fight at the Oscars and use profanity. That's why don't want to rent or let us live in their condo. Shameful act of Mr. Smith. Okay, that's your views. I think we should limit the action to the man who do it. I really don't want you to kind of paint me because we are of the same ethnic background as him. Wouldn't do that. Would have never done that. And especially at this point in my life, I definitely wouldn't do that. So I'm not him, and I'm sure you are not him. So we need to deal with it. We have a caller. Caller, go ahead. You're on Guardian AM.
Good morning, Mr. Edwards. How are you, sir?
I am fantastic. And you?
Good, sir. Powerful show. And it's an internal matter.
Yes.
It's an internal fix that's needed.
Yep.
I agree. The reset button needs to be pressed. Can't run from that.
Mm-hmm.
The word of God is plain. I mean, whatever your guide is for your moral compass, that needs to be put in place.
Yes.
Love God, love yourself, and then love your neighbor as yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we gotta change some mindset. Change gotta be done.
Yeah.
Some intervention. I think a more accountability is needed by everyone, overall, but more so from the parents and the grandparents.
Yeah. Why do you think, though, when incidents happen, and, you know, let's leave out the Will Smith, Chris Rock thing, that's a foreign thing, let's come home.
Yes, sir.
Why do you think, though, that we always seem to be throwing external solutions at these, and by external, I explain, why are we not doing more to fix the individual, to fix the human beings involved?
See, that's why you're going to continuously have this problem. You see, you got to always search within. That is the answer. You know, I'm a mother. I'm a mother of three adults. I have a grandchild. And it requires care and attention. It, it, requires some fixing all around, because I get it. A father owed a job, a mother owed a job, everybody frustrated. No one doesn't need this basic needs. I understand that. Mm-hmm. Even the person's committing crime, he has the basic things that Marlo talks about, the same thing that we law-abiding citizens can seek after.
Mm-hmm.
You're not basic. It's basic. And that's where everyone else got to come in and help. Government got to provide opportunities. They got to provide jobs. They got to give people a hand up.
Mm-hmm.
Pull them up out of the situation. It pains me so when I drive around the streets and you see the men and the women gather around the bars. Coming in, so I said to myself, who's taking care of the children? Who is caring for the children?
They're taking care of themselves, and some of them have grown up themselves. Yeah.
Exactly. They're taking care of themselves. And so I really believe that if government was to be serious about going out, just walking them streets, walking the beat, there's no reason why a child should be out of school when school is opened. Yes. By the pump or by the park on the swing. As if truant officers, where are you?
Yeah.
Police officers, where are you? Social workers, where? Walk the beat. I applaud the Minister of Education when she took a troop and they went out in them streets. That was powerful. It was powerful in many ways. It showed concern. It shows that, hey, we're trying to help you. We're trying to save you. Our people's eyes are blinded. They cannot see. Their ears are deaf.
And so we have to fix them internally.
I guess they must be spaced out.
Yeah.
But that's why we got to wake them up.
Okay.
And if it means waking them up, we're putting the books on them, say, look here, okay, you may not have to go to jail, but you may do some community service right now, provide some updates where you are held accountable.
Mm-hmm.
Your child has to be in school. You're getting government assistance. Well, this requires for the child, for you working with this child, you have 10 parenting classes. We're going to provide opportunity for job. You got to be held accountable to your employer. We got to guide you. Sadly, there's a generations in here, I believe so, who have not been parented, including the parents and the grandparents. We have failed. We got to get back and press that reset button.
Yeah.
We have too much socially illiterate people in our country. Face the situation. We got to get it right. Get back to the church. Use the community groups, the fraternal groups, the fraternity groups, the sorority groups. That's what we're all about. Let's connect the generations, connect the people. There is a serious disconnect from this country.
I agree with you.
We got to be one different year.
Thank you so much for your contribution. You make some powerful points. And, you know, I do want to say, you know, we cannot look to government to solve every single problem. We have to, as a community, realize that we have our own part to play. We have to, as human beings, adult human beings especially, understand we have a role to play, especially when it comes to the privilege that we have been given in rearing and growing up young people. You know, none of us are perfect. I certainly am not. I try my best. I do make mistakes, but, you know, when it comes to your kids, you know, they have to be in school. I passed a parent today, and she, you know, she was on the roadside, seemed as if she was trying to, you know, hustle some coins, some change, but she had a young child with her, and you know, it pained me. I immediately felt like something was, you know, striking through my heart, because I'm just thinking ahead of how that young child, maybe about 6-7 at best, child future is going to be impacted. We have to do better. So parents, you have to remember that. Good show, Edwards. Both Chris Rock and Will Smith was out of order. Chris triggered it off, as every action can cause reaction. And Smith took it personal because emotionally immature and retaliated. Learn lessons from both men. I think so. But pay a special extra focus on Chris Rock and his, you know, the way he managed that. Violence is so prevalent and seen all over the internet and television. It is now become so commonplace that persons think that is just a normal reaction. Sad to say, that's exactly right. You know, these days, you start to watch a movie and you say, you know, at what point in time are you going to start beating up somebody or killing somebody? That's just where we are, and that's kind of a expectation. Blessed, I agree, it starts within. The spirit quickens the flesh, not just in righteousness, but anything you do or think. I think that's a powerful one. Let me read that again. It starts within. The spirit quickens the flesh, not just in righteousness, but anything you do or think.
It's really about how we think. And this is really an internal game. And that's why the external things are needed. The external environment has to be adjusted and affected and influenced. But the intervention, that internal game, must be stimulated. We have a caller. Caller, go ahead. You're on Guardian AM. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Listen, the caller before that said, or the thing that you read was saying that they learned something from both Chris and Will Smith. I don't know what he was watching because Will Smith knows that Chris Rock is a comedian entertainer. Mm-hmm. And so is Will Smith. So that's the reason why he laughed when Chris made the joke. Mm-hmm. And he knows that at those shows, they pick on one another, which is just harmless joke. He got a good laugh out of it until he looked over and his wife gave him the look that she did.
Yes.
Up until that point, nothing would have happened. He would have just laughed it off and move on.
What does that say to you, though? What does that tell you?
That tells me that that lady has an influence on Will Smith that nobody can understand.
That's what it says to you?
That's what it says to me, that he was not in control, because in his control, initially, was his control. He laughed. It was a joke.
Uh-huh.
But then she looked at him the way she did.
Yeah.
How his personal feelings was, yeah. It switched. And okay. It switched because of her.
Uh-huh.
So it switched because of her influence.
Yes.
That's how I see it.
But she's external. So yes. he's laboring on the... his own perception of what that look meant, and the implication of that look. Maybe he projected, okay, when we leave here, what does that mean? What conversations are going to be had? What persons are going to say in terms of my action or non-action? And he was in that moment rationalizing. He came to a conclusion very rapidly, really, and he acted.
Yes, he reacted. I think he reacted poorly because, you know, I love him. I love him, both Chris Rock
mm-hmm.
and Jada. But I felt like that went beyond, because he could have, when she looked at him, he could have given Chris Rock a look, as you know when them look and say, no, bro, don't go there. Mm-hmm. And then Chris Rock would have probably recanted and then say something else.
Okay.
You understand? Versus get, you know, see, and if you look at it in this country, or probably most places in the world, I'm not sure, but I can tell, but this country, we raise our young men to react to things, and we raise our young lady to forget and forget. This is why the crime rate is so much higher with the men than they are with the female.
Mm-hmm.
Because young ladies are trained completely different. We baby them. We show them how to... That's why you have so much women staying in these abusive relationships, because they let it go consistently, yeah, rather than reacting.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much for your contribution. So, yeah, you know, I know this is what's going to happen. We're just going to keep going back to Chris Rock, but certainly some of the social challenge that we face are based on who we are. And I think that is important. Too often we try to create this impression, or maybe divorce ourselves of the reality, that what we're seeing in this country, in our society, in our communities, are, you know, kind of foreign to us. But no, the actions, the things that we are doing, the way things are playing out, is exactly who we are. And if that's the starting point of our conversation, if that's the starting point of our motivation to intervene and to change, I think we're going to be way, way more effective. So we have to start ask ourselves and answer the hard question: is this truly who we are? Is this truly who the individual in front of me is? And if the answer to that is yes, then we need to respond accordingly. So let's take a quick thing here that I did, Will Smith versus Chris Rock. Will Smith, angry. Chris Rock, in the moment, only in the moment that we saw on TV, composed and restrained. Whether he was afraid or he was scared, I don't know, but he looked composed and he was restrained. Will Smith, unthinking to a large extent, versus Chris Rock, who was very much more clear thinking and seemed to, you know, as a result, manage the circumstances way better. Will Smith,
he lacked awareness. He lacked awareness of the moment, the importance of the moment in history, because this is an Oscar. He was going to win. I think he knew that. You know, maybe these things get leaked out. I don't know if it's totally surprised. They jump up and make up noise. But, you know, he was up for this. This was a moment in history, a historical moment. Pastor Miles Monroe once told me that one of the most important things in life is to understand a moment in history, the significance. And he told me that at a time when a particular individual was ushered on stage on a very, very auspicious occasion, event, and started to talk about really, really trivial things. And he leaned over and said, the most important thing in life, one of the most important things in life is to understand a moment in history. You're at the Oscars. You've been watched by millions of persons. You're up. You have a nomination. Respect that. Chris Rock showed great awareness. He knew where he was. He knew he was a presenter. He knew he was on TV. He knew he was being watched. And he knew that the moment was going to be significant going forward. And he managed it in that manner. Resentful on the part of Will Smith and careless on the part of Chris Rock. So I think Will Smith, given that there's some historical thing there, was a little bit resentful, even if it was for that brief moment. He kind of nurtured that very quickly and threw that out and spewed that out. And Chris Rock, I think, may have been a little bit careless with his words. I'm just throwing these things out there very quickly as we think about this whole issue of gang violence and crime in school and broken relationship and the way we interact with each other and our seemingly inability to deal with conflict resolution. You know, take these lessons and start to figure out and start to play in your mind and work through how you would react in these circumstances. In my book, Think, Act, Grow, and I think in this moment, the word think is very, very important. Think aggro. Your resentment is your own poison. We wish you would not, but should you decide to keep drinking it, be mindful of who will ultimately die. We wish for you not to die, but to live and thrive. We wish for you not to die, but to live and thrive. And that is used, that can be applied in the physical and it can be applied metaphorically. Don't make stupid mistakes. Don't take stupid actions, which is going to kill you off. We want you to thrive. So I have a couple of questions for you. What behavior, if any, is your poison? What behavior, if any, right now you have represents your poison? Do you hold on to resentments? How do you look at persons who may have hurt you? Whether it is they hurt you over a long time, they've been doing this and you have time to think and steam about it, or it is right there in the moment. How do you look at these persons? How have you conditioned yourself to think about individuals like this? How willing are you to forgive? Are you a quick forgiver, right? Right in the moment, like, you know, Chris Rock says something, Will Smith, don't feel impressed by it, but in the moment is willing to forgive. In that moment, as quick as that, to forgive. Because the willingness to forgive ultimately started to change his orientation and the action that we saw may have shifted. Do you believe in sacrificial leadership? I always like to say that the highest form of leadership is self-leadership. And in that process of discharging leadership at the self level, you have to make sacrifices. You have to sacrifice in that moment the risk of being embarrassed for a better outcome. You have to sacrifice the fact that persons may see you as less. Persons may see you differently. Persons may see you as weak in order to curate a more viable outcome, a peaceful outcome, an outcome which is filled with lessons. Because guess what? As it played out, Will Smith went on stage. And then he spent all of the time up there crying. Understand how powerful it would have been, it could have been, had he not engaged in that action, But to use that moment to chastise, to teach, to show the difference, how much more powerful it would have been, and we would have seen him totally differently today. And that's what I'm saying to you. How are you embracing your resentment? Just want to read a little bit quickly. Be careful how you react to negative treatment. Be careful how you react to negative treatment. Many of us engage in activities that are against our own well-being, that goes against our own well-being. We have negative experiences that are perpetuated by persons who lack care and empathy and deliberately set out to cause pain, or, you know, sometimes it's not deliberate, but they do cause pain. We may suffer at the hands of individuals not intending to inflict pain, but who are less than careful in managing relationships or interacting with the truth. There are times we may inadvertently contribute to our own hurts. Regardless, there is nothing we can do to change what has happened. But unfortunately, we made the conscious decision to become resentful. Resentment is one's own poison. It was Nelson Mandela who warned that one cannot take poison and expect one's enemy to die. This proverb provides such a powerful insight, especially against the backdrop of our own journey. He was of his own journey. He was imprisoned for 27 years as a leader, resisting one of the most brutal regimes in modern history, apartheid in South Africa. Locked away unjustly and with his people suffering immensely, he lost family members and friends. Yet, when he emerged from prison, by his own actions, he showed no bitterness towards those who had persecuted him. His book, My Jailer, My Friend, speaks volumes about the mindset of this great leader. His relationship with P.W. Botha, the man who oversaw the country during the time of his mistreatment, was refreshing and encouraging. While for many, theirs was an unlikely friendship, it demonstrated the depth of Mandela's transformation and the authenticity of his work, which inspired this chapter's title. Resentment is like drinking poison and hoping it will kill your enemies. You cannot allow the treatment meted out to you to poison your existence. While it's not easy to convince a person of this, I hope you have encountered this principle repeatedly through the book, if you were reading the book. The genesis of most of my writing is in having been wronged and having to seek ways to confront the mistreatment with love towards the perpetrators. Manage your resentment. Be willing to forgive those who have caused you harm, knowing that you are always going to be the greatest recipient of your own forgiveness. Take the advice of Dr. Wayne Dyer. There are no justifiable resentments. In the end, it is you who are consuming your own poison. However, poison is not limited to resentment. It can be manifested in numerous other forms and in interesting and unexpected ways. The principle, though, remains the same in that it is what you do that matters most. What else can be your poison? Anything that can kill you physically or cause you to suffer emotionally or mentally, socially, financially, spiritually, or in any other aspect of your life. We tend always to take steps to avoid things which cause physical harm, but never give much thought to the other types of inflictions. For example, many of us have possession well beyond our needs. This, however, is not necessarily what hurt us. Rather, it is a selfish use or abuse which is tantamount to the poison. Behaviors such as holding on to emotions that are negative, using authority in ways that hurt others, failing to help another when we easily could because we are more attached to these things, are all poisonous. They are poisonous because they will result ultimately in someone suffering unnecessary pain. People who embrace the idea of scarcity, never having enough, are likely to behave in this manner, unwittingly killing themselves slowly. On the other hand, people who give delightfully, sharing whatever they can, remaining detached from the adverse influence of possessing things and position, enjoy a cleansing and empowering life. Avoid living selfishly and behaving in ways that are harmful or uncaring towards others. Such behavior is akin to sipping your poison. Your resentment or malevolent—I can't pronounce the word. I have problems with word. Your resentment, your resentful behavior, is your own poison. Do not continue drinking it. We wish you would not, but should you decide to keep drinking, be mindful of who will ultimately die. We wish for you not to die, but to live and thrive. And so I want to leave that there today. I want to say to us, myself, you, and everybody under the sound of my voice, and all the persons who may hear this at a later point, let's start to understand that this is an inside game. The people who obey the law because they decide to do so. The people who don't is because they decide to do so. The individuals who act out violently in school or elsewhere where they are not to be is because of what's on the inside of them. So let us who have the ability to help be recognizing of the fact that that help will not be effective, will not be optimal, cannot be optimized unless and until we cause there to be a shift, an internal shift in other individuals. Just see if we can get to this too. Hubert, that was ghetto behavior, that's quickly. Okay, we have no more time, we're totally out of time, so we just want to say, walk good, be good, one love. The COVID pandemic is not over, so continue to be respectful, continue to social distance, and continue to take the necessary precautions. All the best to you, one love and Ubuntu.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.